Hello, and welcome to our short series of podcasts on mental health and well-being. In this first episode, we'll be listening to registered occupational and health psychologist, Dr. Mark Cheeseman. Mark will be looking at the impacts of the pandemic and lockdowns on our mental health and giving useful tips for well-being. He will also give some great tips for those who are at home, struggling to homeschool their kids and trying to maintain their career. So Mark, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and then over to you for some great advice?
I do a lot of work around mental health and neurodiversity, a lot of work with assessing people and identifying how people can be supported, mainly in work, but also in education, particularly sort of sixth form higher education around in both areas. A lot of my work is assessment, but I'm also trained Mental Health First Aid England and Ofqual Mental Health First Aid. I've been asked really to give some ideas about how to cope with mental health and well-being in this time of COVID, how we can manage both ourselves and also manage and help support our own family, because obviously we're all part of a system, or most of us or a lot of us are having to stay at home and work. That's proving to be something of a challenge for everybody. So what I wanted to do is just go for some ideas about some of the things that obviously that are affecting us all. What are the factors that are causing our anxiety and some of the adverse psychological effects? So obviously we are social beings. We need people around us, and really the COVID and the pandemic and the lockdown have really emphasized this far more than perhaps realized. We're increasingly isolated, we're not seeing friends and family. Zoom doesn't really make up for it. We feel stir crazy. We're locked up. There's the uncertainty. There's the effects of the pandemic. There's the huge impact on jobs, the huge impact on schooling. You've got children or either preschool or at school, and how to manage and help and support them at the same time. I think also there's also issues really around how the messaging that's come out around COVID and the uncertainty. Deadlines, goalposts keeping being pushed back. We're now in our third lockdown. I think everybody had assumed maybe we just have one lockdown and that'd be it. We need to flag up more about what we should have expected was going to happen. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's feelings of loss. There's directly, if you've lost somebody to COVID or you've lost somebody to another illness but haven't been able to see them, there's the loss of relationships, loss of family, not being able to see grandparents, not being able to see grandchildren, wider family, friends, and engage in all our hobbies and activities. I mean, I can speak from, I've got two children, school-age children, a 15-year-old son and 11-year-old daughter, both in their own ways been affected by the loss of school, having to work through lessons with Zoom or Google Classroom. My daughter's moved from primary to secondary school during this lockdown. There's a big loss. She hasn't seen her friends from primary school for a long time, with a few exceptions. She's struggling to, obviously, all the new friendships from secondary school. She's losing out on that opportunity to develop those friendships and relationships. There's loss of all the things they would have done at the end of her primary school career. It's proving to be definitely a challenge for them, but also for parents to try and support. And I think each age group, whether they're preschool or whether they're infant, junior, secondary, and also those who are on A-levels and at university, each group has a different set of challenges, different set of difficulties, feeling a loss. If you're a university student, you're missing out on that whole social environment that you go to university in part four. School, you're missing your friends, you're missing opportunity to play sports, to do music and so on. And that's a lot, that's an awful lot to handle. There's an awful lot going around there. I think we all recognise how much that's affecting us all. You know, we hear about the isolation, the loneliness, poor sleep, people perhaps drinking more than they used to, drinking far too much coffee, getting sucked into Netflix and Prime and finding it hard to concentrate and work, easily distracted. And so some of the things that I just wanted to have a quick look at is some of the things that might help. There's the obvious ones, social contact. It's been a godsend that we've had things like Zoom and Teams and some of the other online platforms allow us to communicate with other people. I think if you're children of a certain age, then things like Xbox have really helped, the ability to communicate with friends using WhatsApp for children to speak to their friends and take part together in some activity. But if we look at something like sleep, for example, that sleep is so fundamental to our health, and with the anxiety and lack of routines, that's really been quite badly disrupted by the pandemic. Well, I'm going to give you some ideas of maybe how to improve sleep. I mean, clearly one is avoid alcohol, avoid caffeine, energy drinks several hours before going to bed. There's getting into a structured routine where possible, finding the things that will help you relax and wind down. It could be reading, could be listening to music, avoiding though technology, whether it be TVs, computers, iPads, mobile phones, for at least a couple of hours before going to sleep. Ideally, have the mobile phones and the iPads, the tablets, into another room, so completely separate. Your bedroom should be purely for sleep and not for watching technology. Obviously, keep the room as dark as possible. If you can't sleep, then stop trying. If after 15, 20 minutes you can't get to sleep, then it makes sense to get up, do something else until you get tired again, then try again. If you start fighting it, you get anxious about it, you get frustrated and just wakes you up anyway. Avoid catching up by napping during the daytime. Avoid also, there's some research now saying that fitness trackers with the sleep monitoring actually isn't helpful, because people just focus on how much sleep they think they're having, and then they get anxious about the fact that it's the device is telling you you're not sleeping as much as you think you should. It's also aware that, well, whilst we all say 8 hours is what we require, people vary, and some people only need 6, some people only need 7, some people only need 9, and everybody's different. 8 hours isn't necessarily what you require. If problems do get significant, then there are treatments around to help with insomnia. So if it's persistent and you're only sleeping a couple of hours a night, then really what you should be doing is seeking help for your GP. Another way of really sort of helping out with managing the anxiety is exercise. There's so many benefits to it. It's one of the great panaceas. It's equivalent in terms of mental health as taking sort of antidepressants and having therapy for a lot of conditions. It's the physical benefits, the psychological benefits, where possible, obviously getting outside the house will really help. Taking a break from your environment, where if you're trying to work or trying to do something social, going out with the kids and doing something in the park if you can. It's difficult though to get into a habit with it. Don't set yourself unrealistic goals, like an hour a day. If you just get 5 minutes done one day, 20 minutes the next day, 2 minutes the next day, even the very fact of just doing something every day starts creating a habit. Commit yourself with somebody else as a sort of exercise buddy. Now, often that nowadays it's probably going to be online. There's obviously the likes of Joe Wicks and co. Intense training helps. If you can do some intense exercise, even it could be just going up and down the stairs a few times, just getting around, moving around regularly, getting away from the laptop, from the computer, the TV, and moving around will help. Getting outdoors, obvious one, difficult at this time of the year, obviously with the weather. Hopefully as the days are starting to get a bit longer, we can get out a bit more, the weather's a bit better. But again, mixing exercise, getting outdoors, getting some fresh air, just walk around the block even, that's enough, just to get a break from the house. Now, in terms of trying to manage your sort of internal world, things like mindfulness, which is about focusing on the present, it's about observing your own thoughts and feelings. Many people are doing, there's plenty of apps around for it, Calm and Headspace. There's also various exercises that can sort of help promote and get and give you. So one of the ones that I personally use a fair amount is a sort of 5-4-3-2-1 exercise. You use your senses to focus on different things. So you're just trying to distract yourself from what's going on in your mind. So you will start with some conscious breathing, kind of breathing in for 7 seconds, hold for 7 seconds and expel for 7, do that a few times. Then focus on 5 things you can see around you. It might be a carpet, trees, clouds. Then focus on 4 things you can touch. Then 3 things you can hear, talking, laughter, birds outside. Then 2 things you can smell, that could be the coffee you've got, or even just smelling the environment around you. And then focus on 1 thing you can taste, which might be coffee or a cup of tea or a snack. Go for those very slowly, be very conscious of the time, focus on those. And then at the end, go for the 7-second exercise again and just try and calm down. And that should help to calm down any anxiety and any thoughts or negative thoughts. Another exercise that really works very well. And it seems, again, the research is really strong on this, and that's gratitude. There's a gratitude three blessings, but it's every day, write down kind of three things that went well each day. Do it every day. Maybe make it a family exercise as well. So get your partner, could get the kids involved, maybe wider family. You could even do it over Zoom and just share those things you're grateful for. Write them down, explain why you're grateful for them, what are the positives associated. Share them with friends and family. I mean, some of them could definitely be about family members or friends. Very powerful. It helps refocus on the positives, on the things that are going well in each day to day. It's been shown, just even doing for a week or 2 weeks, that it really does improve mood and it reduces depression and anxiety. And the effects are long-lasting, they persist. When you look at the kind of literature and look at what people do, these seem to be, particularly gratitude and gratitude journaling, are simple, powerful techniques that can really help. So cut out that pathway around anxiety and low mood and try and change the way that you're looking at things. As I sort of mentioned earlier, well, I'm a parent, so I've got lots of friends with kids of all sorts of ages and sometimes quite wide age distributions, and it is undoubtedly one of the most challenging parts of life at the moment. When you're trying to do childcare and keep a job going, you know, even with all the support coming from the schools, you're still trying to be a teacher. There's lots of expectations on you. There's guilt if you feel that you're letting your children down. Then there's guilt, the contrast with work, and it can be easier with older children because they are a bit more independent, a bit more autonomous. But then trying to motivate teenagers and older children to carry on with their schoolwork and do the things they're supposed to do their homework, get up in the morning, get on to whatever lessons going on and can do any further study that might be expected to do. And with most of us are not trained teachers, so trying to teach numeracy literacy to our kids is a challenge, to say the least. I think most importantly, this is you know, be kind to yourself, because it is unrealistic. These are extremely unusual times. Your well-being, both yourself and also your children, is paramount. You need to look after yourselves and not put too much pressure. You need to be realistic about what you can do. The whole fatigue with being on Zoom or Teams, there's the whole thing of trying to arrange, being stuck indoors all the time. It seems that meetings, the number of frequency of meetings, the gap between meetings, the frequency's increased and the gap between meetings has decreased. And I think what you need to do, one of the techniques is perhaps having set times and day when you can do the childcare, set times when you can focus on work. Now that can be, particularly younger children, can be really difficult. A big part of this is actually being kind to yourself. You know, the school might suggest you need to do 3 or 4 hours with younger children, but actually realistically, you might only be able to do an hour and a half. And it's about finding tasks that the kids can get engaged with. It's being open with colleagues that your demands on childcare. And I think most people now recognize how challenging this is. Experimenting as well and finding what's going to work and being realized you're not alone. It's important to be talking to other people about sharing tips about how you're managing, what kind of activities you're doing with the children to help. Really just realizing that everybody's struggling with this, and most importantly, you need to be realistic about what you can do and not have expectations of yourselves that are unrealistic. Hopefully the kind of things covered here are the kind of things that will help. You know your children, you know what their strengths are, you know how they deal with things in normal times, and it's really looking at any deviation away from how they would normally be and how they normally cope. Now that can be sometimes parts of childhood that can be quite difficult because they're changing so much anyway. Quite clear that if somebody's very sociable and then suddenly starts isolating, again, it's a bit difficult. We've got teenagers, for example, because they kind of isolate themselves anyway. But it's where that's even more so, and where there's anger, there's temper, irritability. They suddenly stop talking to friends. You're aware that they're not talking to friends, whatever apps they're using. There's tears. It's anything away from how they are before lockdown. Sleep problems, eating difficulties, people not eating to routines, eating enough, eating too much. It's obviously a child is either waking up very early, struggling to get to sleep, wants more affection, more hugs, is upset. And it's anything that changes, but how really ultimately that's just the bottom line, is anything that is different from how they were or what it was like in normal times. I think it's really important to be there, to be open, to reaffirm that you're there for them, you're able to listen to their concerns, you are able to take time to go and talk to them, to listen to them, can do things with them when they want to. Again, with younger children, it's behavioural changes. A lot of it is withdrawal, maybe less obvious with older children and teenagers, but younger ones not wanting to play so much, struggling to get up, not wanting to engage in any of the schoolwork. But again, that's being realistic. I think there's certainly some things where the schools are possibly being unrealistic about what they want or they expect. Well, things, if you see those changes, or trying to engage, trying to see if you can make things more interactive, more fun. Some things I've heard, people turning lessons into games or turning them into creative tasks. It comes to the point as well, there will be a point when if some of these difficulties are prolonged and perhaps are going on for more than a few weeks, then at that point, I think it's important to maybe contact your GP and ask for support and possible, if necessary, referral to appropriate services. Again, with adults, children really vary in how they're dealing with this. But I think the underlying issue here is really to identify any changes to how the child, that's more than just transitory, that's a prolonged change in behaviour, unexpected compared to perhaps how they were beforehand. Looking for those signs and being open to them and also being aware that there's sometimes a belief that children are better, more resilient than they actually are. Children are just as likely to have difficulties as adults is ascribed to, that's the stage of their childhood, that actually it could be the beginnings or of something more significant, and just being aware of that. Blocking out, if you have diaries, blocking out work diaries so you can spend time, so you have, make sure you have a block in the morning, block in the evening, block in the evening. Maybe you may have to do some of your work later on, but it's finding a routine and keeping to that as much as possible. Again, I think sleep routines, bedtime routines, particularly important. It's also making sure there is a period leading up before bedtime, for example, several hours where you are spending your time with your kids, depending on obviously the structure, demands of work and so on, in terms of when your working hours are. You know what you're going to be doing as much as possible all through the day and the week. And I think it's also having, where possible, that discussion with work about how they can help you structure your day, your working day as well. Again, it's about being realistic about what you can do. I've noticed, for example, when the school started going online, it wasn't very structured. Now it is. They follow the same structure they would have at school, and that has really helped them psychologically in terms of trying to manage. There is a need, there is a need to be more, bit more flexible and not just be completely rigid with a routine.
Mark, thanks so much for taking the time to share your tips and advice with our members. We really appreciate it, and there's some great ideas within that podcast. I think plenty of people will agree. Watch out now for our next podcast coming your way soon. Take care.